Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today from the life and diary of David Brainerd. Last time we checked in with Brother Brainerd, he was taking care of a schoolmaster who was very ill. On top of all of his other responsibilities, this was becoming somewhat of a burden to him. We're on Wednesday, April the 2nd, 1746. Was somewhat exercised with a spiritless frame of mind, but was a little relieved and refreshed in the evening with meditation alone in the woods. But alas, my days pass away as the chaff. It is but little I do or can do that turns to any account, and it is my constant misery and burden that I am so fruitless in the vineyard of the Lord. Oh, that I were spirit, that I might be active for God. This, I think, more than anything else, makes me long that this corruptible might put on incorruption, and that this mortal would put on immortality. God deliver me from clogs, fetters, a body of death that impede my service for him. The next day he complains bitterly of some exercises by corruption he found in his own heart. Friday, April 4, spent most of the day in writing on Revelation 22:17, whosoever will, and so on. Enjoyed some freedom and encouragement in my work, and found some comfort in prayer. Saturday, April 5, after public worship, a number of my dear Christian Indians came to my house, with whom I felt a sweet union of soul. My heart was knit to them. And I cannot say I have felt such a sweet and fervent love to the brethren for some time past. And I saw in them appearances of the same love. This gave me something of a view of the heavenly state, and particularly that part of the happiness of heaven which consists in the communion of saints. And this was affecting to me. For the next 2 days, you would have to see his public journal. On Tuesday, he went to a meeting of the presbytery appointed at Elizabethtown. In his way thither, he enjoyed some sweet meditations, but after he came there, he was, as he expresses it, very vapory and melancholy, and under an awful gloom that oppressed his mind. And this continued till Saturday evening, when he began to have some relief and encouragement. He spent the Sabbath at Staten Island, where he preached to an assembly of Dutch and English, and enjoyed considerable refreshment and comfort, both in public and private. In the evening he returned to Elizabethtown. Monday, April 14, my spirits this day were raised and refreshed, and my mind composed, so that I was in a comfortable frame of soul most of the day. In the evening my head was clear, my mind serene. I enjoyed sweetness in secret prayer and meditations on Psalms, where it says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God." How free, how comfortable, how cheerful, and yet solemn do I feel when I am in a good measure freed from those damps and melancholy glooms that I often labor under. And blessed be the Lord, I find myself relieved in this respect. Tuesday, April 15, my soul longed for more spirituality, and it was my burden to that I could do no more for God. Oh, my barrenness is my daily affliction and heavy load. How precious is time, and how it pains me to see it slide away, while I do so very little to any good purpose. Oh, that God would make me more fruitful and spiritual. The next day he speaks of his being almost overwhelmed with vapory disorders, but yet not so as wholly to destroy the composure of his mind. Thursday, April 17, enjoyed some comfort in prayer, some freedom in meditation, composure in my studies. Spent some time in writing in the forenoon. In the afternoon, spent some time in conversation with several dear ministers. In the evening, preached from Psalms, "But it is good for me to draw near to God." God helped me to feel the truth of my text, both in the first prayer and in sermon. I was enabled to pour out my soul to God with great freedom, fervency, and affection. And blessed be the Lord, it was a comfortable season to me. I was enabled to speak with tenderness and yet with faithfulness. And divine truths seemed to fall with weight and influence upon the hearers. My heart was melted for the dear assembly, and I loved everybody in it. and scarce ever felt more love to immortal souls in my life. My soul cried, oh, that the dear creatures might be saved, oh, that God would have mercy on them. He seems to have been in a very comfortable frame of mind the next 2 days. And then Lord's Day, April 20, enjoyed some freedom, and I hope exercise of faith in prayer in the morning, especially when I came to oppressors, to pray for Zion. I was free from that gloomy discouragement that so often oppresses my mind, and my soul rejoiced in the hopes of Zion's prosperity and the enlargement of the dear kingdom of the great Redeemer. Oh, that his kingdom might come! Monday, April 21, was composed and comfortable in mind most of the day, was mercifully freed from those gloomy damps that I am frequently exercised with, had freedom and comfort in prayer several times, and especially had some rising hopes of Zion's enlargement and prosperity. Oh, how refreshing were those hopes to my soul! Oh, that the kingdom of the dear Lord might come! Oh, that the poor Indians might quickly be gathered in great numbers! Tuesday, April 22. My mind was remarkably free this day from melancholy damps and glooms and animated in my work. I found such fresh vigor and resolution in the service of God that the mountains seemed to become a plain before me. Oh, blessed be God for an interval of refreshment and fervent resolution in my Lord's work. In the evening, my soul was refreshed in secret prayer and my heart drawn out for divine blessings, especially for the Church of God and his interest among my own people and for dear friends in remote places. Oh, that Zion might prosper and precious souls be brought home to God. In this comfortable, fervent frame of mind, he remained the next 2 days. On Tuesday, he went to Elizabethtown to attend the meeting of the presbytery there, and seemed to spend the time, while absent from his people on this occasion, in a free and comfortable state of mind. Saturday, May 3rd, rode from Elizabethtown home to my people, at or near Cranberry, whither they are now removed, and where, I hope, God will settle them as a Christian congregation. Was refreshed in lifting up my heart to God while riding, and enjoyed a thankful frame of spirit for divine favors received the week past. I was somewhat uneasy and dejected in the evening, having no house of my own to go into in this place, but God was my support. Tuesday, May 6. Enjoyed some spirit and courage in my work, was in a good measure free from melancholy. Blessed be God for freedom from this death. Wednesday, May 7, spent most of the day in writing as usual. Enjoyed some freedom in my work, was favored with some comfortable meditations this day. In the evening was in a sweet, composed frame of mind, was pleased and delighted to leave all with God, respecting myself, for time and eternity, and respecting the people of my charge and dear friends. Had no doubt but that God would take care of me and of his own interest among my people, and was enabled to use freedom in prayer as a child with a tender father. Oh, how sweet is such a frame! Thursday, May 8. In the evening was somewhat refreshed with divine things and enjoyed a tender, melting frame in secret prayer, wherein my soul was drawn out for the interest of Zion and comforted with the lively hope of the appearing of the kingdom of the great Redeemer. These were sweet moments. I felt almost loath to go to bed and grieved that sleep was necessary. However, I lay down with a tender, reverential fear of God, sensible that his favor is life, and his smiles better than all that earth can boast of, infinitely better than life itself. Saturday, May 10, rode to Allenstown to assist in the administration of the Lord's Supper. In the afternoon preached from Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us, and so on. God was pleased to carry me through with some competency of freedom, and yet to deny me that enlargement and power that I longed for. In the evening my soul mourned, and could not but mourn that I had treated so excellent a subject in so defective a manner. that I had borne so broken a testimony for so worthy and glorious a Redeemer. And if my discourse had met with the utmost applause from all the world, as I accidentally heard it applauded by some persons of judgment, it would not have given me any satisfaction. No, it grieved me to think that I had had no more holy warmth and fervency, that I had been no more melted in discoursing of Christ's death and the end and design of it. Afterwards enjoyed some freedom and fervency in secret and family prayer, and longed much for the presence of God to attend His word and ordinances the next day. Lord's Day, May 11, assisted in the administration of the Lord's Supper, but enjoyed little enlargement. Was grieved and sunk with some things that I thought undesirable. In the afternoon, went to the house of God, weak and sick in soul, as well as feeble in body, and longed that the people might be entertained and edified with divine truths, and that an honest, fervent testimony might be borne for God, but knew not how it was possible for me to do anything of that kind to any good purpose. Yet God, who is rich in mercy, was pleased to give me assistance, both in prayer and preaching. God helped me to wrestle for His presence in prayer, and to tell Him that He had promises where two or three are met together in His name, there He would be in the midst of them, and that we were at least some of us so met, and pleaded that for His truth's sake He would be with us. And blessed be God, it was sweet to my soul thus to plead and rely on God's promises. Discoursed upon Luke 9:30-31, it says, "And behold, there talked with Him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem." Enjoyed special freedom from the beginning to the end of my discourse, without interruption. The things pertinent to the subject were abundantly presented to my view, and such a fullness of matter that I scarce knew how to dismiss the various heads and particulars I had occasion to touch upon. And blessed be the Lord, I was favored with some fervency and power, as well as freedom, so that the word of God seemed to awaken the attention of a stupid audience to a considerable degree. I was inwardly refreshed with the consolations of God, and could with my whole heart say, "Though there be no fruit in the vine," and so on, "yet will I rejoice in the Lord." After public service, I was refreshed with sweet conversation of some Christian friends. The next 4 days seem to have been spent mostly with spiritual comfort and profit. Then to Friday, May 16. Near night, enjoyed some agreeable and sweet conversation with a dear minister, which I trust was blessed to my soul. My heart was warmed, and my soul engaged to live to God, so that I longed to exert myself with more vigor than ever I had done in His cause. And those words were quickening to me that said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that should bring forth much fruit." Oh, my soul longed and wished and prayed to be enabled to live to God with utmost constancy and ardor. In the evening, God was pleased to shine upon me in secret prayer and draw out my soul after Himself. And I had freedom in supplication for myself, but much more in intercession for others, so that I was sweetly constrained to say, "Lord, use me as Thou wilt. Do as Thou wilt with me, but, oh, promote Thine own cause. Zion is Thine. Oh, visit Thine heritage. Let Thy kingdom come. Oh, let Thy blessed interest be advanced in the world." When I attempted to look to God, respecting my worldly circumstances and His providential dealings with me, in regard of my settling down in my congregation, which seems to be necessary and yet very difficult, and contrary to my fixed intention for years past, as well as my disposition, which has been and still is at times especially to go forth and spend my life in preaching the gospel from place to place and gathering souls afar off to Jesus, the great Redeemer. Anyway, I could only say, "The will of the Lord be done," whether settling down or going preaching into other places, he means. It is no matter for me. The same frame of mind I felt with respect to another important affair I have lately had some serious thoughts of. I could say with utmost calmness and composure, Lord, if it be most for thy glory, let me proceed in it. But if thou seest that it will in any wise hinder my usefulness in thy cause, oh, prevent my proceeding. For all I want respecting this world is such circumstances as may best capacitate me to do service for God in the world. But blessed be God, I enjoyed liberty in prayer for my dear flock, and was enabled to pour out my soul into the bosom of a tender father. My heart within me was melted when I came to plead for my dear people and for the kingdom of Christ in general. Oh, how sweet was this evening to my soul! I knew not how to go to bed, and when I got to bed, I longed for some way to improve time for God, to some excellent purpose. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Saturday, May 17, walked out in the morning and felt much of the same frame I enjoyed the evening before. Had my heart enlarged in praying for the advancement of the kingdom of Christ. I found the utmost freedom in leaving all my concerns with God. I find discouragement to be an exceeding hindrance to my spiritual fervency and affection. But when God enables me sensibly to find that I have done something for Him, this refreshes and animates me so that I could break through all hardships, undergo any labors, and nothing seems too much either to do or to suffer. But oh, what a death it is to strive and strive, to be always in a hurry and yet do nothing, or at least nothing for God. Alas, alas, that time flies away and I do so little for God. Lord's Day, May 18, I felt my own utter insufficiency for my work. God made me to see that I was a child, yea, that I was a fool. I discoursed, both parts of the day, from Revelation 3:20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. God gave me freedom and power in the latter part of my forenoon's discourse, although in the former part of it, I felt peevish and provoked with the unmannerly behavior of the white people who crowded in between my people and me, which proved a great temptation to me. But blessed be God, I got these shackles off before the middle of my discourse and was favored with a sweet frame of spirit in the latter part of the exercise, was full of love, warmth, and tenderness in addressing my dear people. In the intermission season, could not but discourse to my people on the kindness and patience of Christ in standing and knocking at the door, and so on. In the evening, I was grieved that I had done so little for God. Oh, that I could be a flame, a fire in the service of my God. On Tuesday, he complains of want of freedom and comfort, but had some return of these on Wednesday. Then Thursday, May 22nd, in the evening, I was in a frame somewhat remarkable. I had apprehended for several days before that it was the design of Providence that I should settle among my people here, and had in my own mind begun to make provision for it, and to contrive means to hasten it, and found my heart something engaged in it, hoping I might then enjoy more agreeable circumstances of life in several respects, and yet was never fully determined, never quite pleased with the thoughts of being settled and confined to one place. Nevertheless, I seemed to have some freedom in that respect, and because the congregation I thought of settling with was one that God had enabled me to gather from amongst the pagans. For I never, since I began to preach, could feel any freedom to enter into other men's labors and settle down in the ministry where the gospel was preached before. I never could make that appear to be my province. When I felt any disposition to consult my ease and worldly comfort, God has never given me any liberty in that respect, either since or for some years before I began to preach. But God, having succeeded my labors and made me instrumental in gathering a church for Him among these Indians, I was ready to think it might be His design to give me a quiet settlement and a stated home of my own. And this, considering the late frequent sinking and failure of my spirits, and the need I stood in of some agreeable society, and my great desire of enjoying conveniences and opportunities for profitable studies was not altogether disagreeable to me. Although I still wanted to go about far and wide in order to spread the blessed gospel among benighted souls, far remote, yet I never had been so willing to settle in any one place for more than 5 years past as I was in the foregoing part of this week. But now these thoughts seemed to be wholly dashed to pieces, and not by necessity, but of choice. For it appeared to me that God's dealings toward me had fitted me for a life of solitariness and hardship, and that I had nothing to lose, nothing to do with earth, and consequently nothing to lose by a total renunciation of it. It appeared to me just right that I should be destitute of house and home and many comforts of life, which I rejoiced to see others of God's people enjoy. And at the same time I saw so much of the excellency of Christ's kingdom and the infinite desirableness of its advancement in the world that it swallowed up all my other thoughts and made me willing, yea, even rejoice, to be made a pilgrim or hermit in the wilderness to my dying moment, if I might thereby promote the blessed interest of the great Redeemer. And if ever my soul presented itself to God for his service, without any reserve of any kind, it did so now. The language of my thoughts and disposition now was, "Here I am, Lord, send me to the ends of the earth, send me to the rough, the savage pagans of the wilderness, send me from all that is called comfort in earth or earthly comfort, send me even to death itself, if it be but in thy service, and to promote thy kingdom." And at the same time I had as quick and lively a sense of the value of worldly comforts as ever I had, but only saw them infinitely overmatched by the worth of Christ's kingdom and the propagation of his blessed gospel. The quiet settlement, the certain place of abode, the tender friendship which I thought I might be likely to enjoy in consequence of such circumstances, appeared as valuable to me, considered absolutely and in themselves, as ever before. But considered comparatively, they appeared nothing. And compared with the value and preciousness of an enlargement of Christ's kingdom, they vanished like the stars before the rising sun. And sure I am that although the comfortable accommodations of life appeared valuable and dear to me, yet I did surrender and resign myself, soul and body, to the service of God and promotion of Christ's kingdom, though it should be in the loss of them all. And I could not do any other, because I could not will or choose any other. I was constrained and yet chose to say, "Farewell, friends, earthly comforts, the dearest of them all, the very dearest, if the Lord calls for it. Adieu, adieu, I will spend my life to my latest moments in caves and dens of the earth, if the kingdom of Christ may thereby be advanced." I found extraordinary freedom at this time in pouring out my soul to God for his cause, and especially that his kingdom might be extended among the Indians, far remote. And I had a great and strong hope that God would do it. I continued wrestling with God in prayer for my dear little flock here, and more especially for the Indians elsewhere, as well as for dear friends in one place and another, till it was bedtime, and I feared I should hinder the family and so on. But oh, with what reluctancy did I find myself obliged to consume time in sleep. I longed to be as a flame of fire, continually glowing in the divine service, preaching and building up Christ's kingdom, to my latest, my dying moment. Amen. Amen, David Brainerd. Oh, the things he does inside of us, right? I know you. Some of you are continuing, even though it's difficult to listen to the man, some of you I know are coming back day after day wondering, what else will he say to my soul? What else will he challenge me to do and be for Jesus Christ? It's happening to me. I know it's happening to you too. David Brainerd. Thank God for David Brainerd. We've got a lot more of him to come. Lord willing, tomorrow we get back to the book of Romans. I'm on tomorrow in real time, that is. It's November 12 today, 2018. Lord, give you a wonderful day. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk soon. Bye-bye.